that. 4 hours of James Brown, 8 to midnight tonight, only on Radio Catskill.
James Brown. I see Sonia walking in the door. Hi. Anyway, let's talk about the, I got to talk about the weather, Sonia. Well, I know, I know. I have a couple of things that are going on here right now. Well, I don't have any of that. I have some bluegrass, though. I have some Johnny Cash. He does that once in a while. But first, let's talk about the weather, because the weather is a changing. And just briefly, we're going to go back to from summer to spring for a day. It's 62 degrees out there, and now it's going to rain for a little while this afternoon and tonight, and the temperatures are going to drop down into the 50s tomorrow. Let's see here. And then back up to the 70s on Tuesday. So ain't no big deal. A little bit of rain. Rain's a good thing. April showers, right? Bring May flowers. And Thane Peterson does this awesome job on jazz. I'm going to turn on those microphones. I'm not sure if they, which one it is, but there might be a little volume thing on there. If you want to hear, can you hear me? Can you hear me at all? Yeah, there you go. Sonia has been with WJFF since the beginning, I think, right?
Well, almost the beginning, not the very, very. Yeah, yeah. But I've been on the air for 30 years, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse was on 30 years 2 weeks ago. We got him a cake.
I know.
You should have a cake, too.
I should have a cake. Yeah. Yeah. I walked by the Cinco de Mayo. I should have a taco. My goodness, they had the most wonderful
food. Man. Oh.
Ceviche was just to die for.
And, yeah.
You know, it's a festival with all the dancing.
I was going to mention that. I had heard that Liberty was going to have big doings today, and of course, I'm here. But I'll have to drive through. I hope there's still something going on there for a little while.
Yes, I think there probably will.
Yeah. And also, did you know that Radio Catskill is out in the world today? They're at the Kite Festival right now. And the Kite Festival out at the college is going on until about 4 o'clock. So
right.
If you see our folks out there, they're at a table. They're tabling at the Kite Festival. And
they're not kiting?
No. They're bringing table. Some stuff. You know, we have our music sale here. Now it looks like almost twice a year, but... But we have so much stuff that they're taking it out to the Kite Festival and moving that around. And they're also going out to the Manor Flea, which is a new event going out. It's a new flea market at the Catskill Brewery. And that's going on until 5 o'clock today, too. And Radio Catskill has a table out there, too. How do you think? Radio Catskill? I know it used to be WJFF 90.5 FM Radio Catskill, but I think...
A little station by a dam site.
Yeah. You know,
that was one of the things.
Yeah, but that dam's a bit down the road now. But still one of my favorite dams. Let's hope it
stays. So you got some good music for us today?
Yeah. You know, we kind of segue, from Thane's show, which is a pure jazz show. And before he got into that time slot, I would sneak a little bit of jazz into Jambalaya.
Yes, good.
Yeah, because bluegrass and jazz are kind of linked. Tony Rice is the example I usually give. He used to listen to John Coltrane, but he played bluegrass guitar. And a lot of his leads sound like trombone leads. So, you know, recently I became aware that of a great jazz guitar player named Joe Pass, and he had a collaboration with John Pisano, and John Pisano just passed away in the past day or so, and I just saw it on the internet, and coincidentally I bought a CD because I thought it had a nice transition from jazz to bluegrass because it was Roy Clark and Joe Pass doing collaborations of Hank Williams songs.
Oh, that sounds good.
And Jambalaya is one of the songs that are on there. So I'm going to play that. And also, the person who played rhythm guitar on that cut is John Pisano. So I've got another record of Joe Pass and John Pisano playing together. And it's one of the most gorgeous guitar duets you want to hear. And we'll play that for a while. And it should be fun, right? So anyway, welcome to Jambalaya. Thank you. that amazing, huh? We're here in the studio with the great, the awesome, the tornado woman.
Survivor. Tornado survivor, that's me.
You know, you and I have that in common. Although you got probably a little closer brush with it than I did. I was in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on a Memorial Day weekend back in the 90s. And, you know, we had spent the day traveling around Western Massachusetts. I had a job out there. My girlfriend at the time, she wanted to break up with me, so she would, like, be arguing with me over crazy stuff. And matter of fact, I got pulled over by the cops up in Greentown, Massachusetts. There's a place up there called Aldo's Harley Davidson.
Okay.
So you know, I wanted to go get an Aldo's T-shirt. What the heck? You know, they're using my name, right? So anyway, after a long day of arguing, I got pulled over by the cops for doing 45 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. Mm-hmm. And the cops said, you know, what are you doing? I said, she's yelling at me, man. I wasn't paying attention. Sorry. And he said, all right, go ahead. So I got away with it. And we ended up having a nice time anyway, but she decided to leave. She was going back to central New York, and I was sitting in my kitchen just mulling over the whole weekend, picking on my banjo, playing the banjo, and all of a sudden I hear what sounds like a train. And sure enough, there's railroad tracks right near my house. I lived in a building that was probably three stories high. I live in the higher level of it. And looking down at the neighborhood below, which was even at a lower level than street level, and I see this tree, this giant oak tree, just twisting in the wind right in front of me. I said, what the heck is going on here? And I hear the train signal going off because I thought it was a train. It wasn't a train. It was a tornado. And the trees fell on the tracks and set off the bells, you know, for the train signal. I'm hearing all this stuff all at the same time. Turns out it was an F4 tornado going through Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. It lifted the roof off of one of the neighboring nursing homes, who I ultimately took as half of them in my nursing home. We set up an emergency shelter in the dining room. I took half of them in my dining room. The other half were distributed with their company's facilities throughout Massachusetts. And we implemented our disaster plan. The tornado came through. It lifted off the roof of that nursing home, broke their sprinklers, and flooded it.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's all they had to fix, was to put the roof back together and to fix the sprinklers, and they were able to get back in there within a week. But then it goes through town and knocks over all the tombstones in the cemetery. It smashes into this car with people in it in the local parking lot of the department store, goes across the street and gets to fairgrounds, demolishes the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. goes against the mountain, scours the side of the mountain. And you can still, when you drive through Great Barrington, you can still see the granite on the side of the mountain where the trees used to be. Bounces over that hill and goes over to the next hill. And two people tragically died on the other side. They were on the highway. It took them 24 hours to get to the place where the car originally was on that highway, to cut through all the trees to rescue the bodies of these poor folks. Tornadoes still care the bejesus out of me. That kind of weather, and when I saw that you guys, you know, had that situation up there, my heart just was, you know, broken for you guys.
It was a matter of, like, you know, was minutes. It was we got that on the cell phone, and we went into the house, this center place, and then it was over in 5 minutes. We went outside. We tried to open the doors.
Were there any other tornado warnings besides that?
No, it just came
right up. Huh?
But I think when you look at the property now, it's just been, it's like the ground, the trees have been raped by the wind. Yeah. I mean, it's just remarkable. Yesterday we sent off 75 trees to the lumber mill.
Wow.
And that's only a small portion of the ones that are down.
Well, this was right after Dick offered me the opportunity to put up a tree stand and hunt deer on the back of your property.
Anytime you want. there's still
trees there and deer, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, we're glad you guys ended up being safe, and we know what a traumatic thing people go through in big disasters, and you guys had a big disaster. And
people were wonderful, you know. Somebody I don't really know started a GoFundMe, and people came over and worked as volunteers and helped. But emotionally, it is also... Yeah. I can't describe what it did to my insides and, you know, this sort of feeling of uneasiness and, really.
Well, you know, you can also look at it a different way. When you realize how small we are and how little control we really have over things, you know, why make a fuss over things you can't control anyway? Yeah. Just, yeah. you know, love the people you're with and take care of what you can. And Mother Nature's going to do her thing.
Yeah.
You know, wear your seatbelt. You know, what can you do, right?
Yeah, you can listen to music, you know. Come and be a volunteer. Someone ought to come in here and chat with you who's not on the radio. You know, maybe they'd get a feel for how very nice it is to do a show.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people. You know, I got interested in radio a long time ago and was immediately discouraged by a professor at the University of Wyoming. I was going to go to I got a couple of years at a community college in Cheyenne. So I wanted to go to UW, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to study, so I investigated radio broadcasting, and the chair of the department said that I had a lateral lisp and that I wouldn't be good on the radio. But he hooked me up with a local radio station. He says, go check it out and see if you like it. So I went there, and the DJ walked out of the room while he was on the air and left me there to deal with it. And, of course, I messed it all up, just like I do with this show. I got everything kind of crazy, but I still had, you know, the bug in me. I've always been a radio fan, and to be here in the chair, you know, here with the Starship Enterprise, and we have all this gear here.
Exactly.
You know, all the gear is great, but the bottom line is it's still a musical program, and the music that I play here is based on my own personal music history and what I've listened to over the past 50 years.
Yes.
Wow, you know.
It's nice to pick music, and I imagine people listening. I mean, kind of imagine them in their house, you know, waking up, maybe if they're listening at 7 when it airs in the morning. I used to do a 2-hour show at 6.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have to leave my house about 4:15. Wow. And that was in a day where there wasn't this mechanization. Oh, no, nothing like that. You know, and we had some marvelous DJs. You remember Cecily Fortescue?
Yes.
Queen of Dead Air. She did a classical music show. And Maris Hearn,
yep.
She knew more about folk music than just about anybody I know, and I was very impressed.
Yeah, you know, Carol and I have been involved with, what's his name, John? He puts on the Maris Hearn tribute every
year. Oh, Jonathan Mernet.
Jonathan Mernet. And, you know, he's so dedicated to her memory and her legacy, and we've been able to help out at the museum. We've hosted the organization out there a couple of times. I just saw on the community calendar on WJFFradio.org that Abby Gardner, who played at one of the Maris Hearn concerts a couple of years ago, is playing in the area today. And if you want to know what's going on, go to WJFFradio.org, click on community calendar, and you see what a great place it is to live around here and so many things that are going on that are music and arts and crafts and highbrow and lowbrow, and it's all out there, and it's like really a lot of fun. Tell me about your history with radio. How did you get in the chair?
I guess it was when the station was in Jeff. I was listening in the morning, and it was Jonathan Mernet and Richard Fisher. He was the host of this show, and they were pitching. And they just said, you know, come on down. I called and gave a little money. Well, why don't you just come down? So I went down. The next thing I knew, they had me talking, and the next thing I knew, he left. And that was when there was a program committee. Kay Katarski got in touch with me and said, you know, we need someone to do this show. And I was very, very nervous that I could do it. But when I went here, the one who really helped me be calm was Ann Larson, because I would be sitting at the board, Master Control, it was called, looking out the window to the lake. And she said, you know, you won't be nervous. Just look out the window and imagine you're talking to one person. That's what I did.
Yeah.
But then I had all these other tasks to do. We had tape, you know, and you had to cut the tape and you had to do all kinds of things in this tech room. But it was wonderful. I love doing the show.
They had cartridges back in the day. People, I remember those.
Carts we had. That was promo. I remember David Dan. I'll never forget it. He did one. A cart was to advertise for, ask for money. Well, hey, talk like a cowboy. Yeah. In the past, there were marvelous shows that a German woman with a very strong accent. What was her name? Ursula. No.
Yeah, I
Ursula.
Remember her. Yeah.
A really good show. We had a variety of shows. I think we had more women. We have more women now doing music shows than men. It's a very, very small number of women, really.
It's blossoming up. There was a lady, and I forgot her name, but she was here for the Porch Fest, and we interviewed her on the air, and she's got a show.
Kathy Geary.
No, not Kathy Geary.
Somebody else.
It's a new lady, and her show is all women artists.
Yes. Yeah. I listened to her. She has a very inviting voice.
Yeah.
And she works at the library in Calicoon, and she said her show was going to tip the balance and play just women or people who identify mm-hmm. as women. And yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm okay with that. I worked for women for years. I've only been fired a couple of times.
Play some more music. Pick another piece of one of you.
We're talking about John Pisano. I got introduced to his music because I was doing a little research on Joe Pass, and I found out that John Pisano was they were good buddies, and they made some great music together. And I'm going to play a cut of those two guys playing together. Then we're going to segue back into our bluegrass. Even before we segue into the bluegrass mode, we're going to play a song by Dave Brubeck. And today is May 4th, and the song is written in 5/4 time, and everybody, I think, will recognize it when we play it. So let's do a little Joe Pass and John Pisano.
Thank you.
I'm not a good enough musician to count 5/4 time. But that's apparently what it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right?
Okay.
Whatever they say, right?
Whatever they say.
Happy Cuatro de Mayo. It's 5/4, oh,
no,
so.
No, Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, well, that Cinco is tomorrow, technically.
Yes.
And, of course, everybody has, they make use of the dates, so it's 5/4 time. Today is May 4th, so we did a 5/4 thing. I don't know what we're going to do on 4/20, but apparently 4/20 is a big day for some people around here, but not me.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Sonia is here because we had a chat about a month or so ago, and we thought it would be nice to get together on the air and talk about a little bit about the station, a little bit about what brought us here and what a cool joint it is to be, and just play some music and have fun.
Well, I think it really is pretty cool that people like you and me can actually have a radio station.
Yeah. Huh?
You know, do our own show on the radio. And I like it.
Yeah.
I've been moving now to this get a theme for something, you know, so we were just talking about that. Like I had this, John Ruggiero was on. He is a professional photographer in one of his jobs, and he photographed everybody. Dolly Parton.
Wow.
You know, all the famous ones. So he talked about that, and he put the playlist together, and that was very nice. Then the other, next one he did was he wanted to take a trip starting on the West Coast and coming across.
Yeah.
So I showed him how to do it, and we were in the studio together, and he picked the pieces. I just think the radio has it's like in your house in a way that I kind of like, you know. But
I miss nighttime radio, all the old talk shows and that crazy guy with the UFOs and
all the people
that would give you the play-by-play of what was going on around the world.
Well, there is one show at 6 on Saturday mornings that I've mostly been listening to. It's called Arts and Letters from mm-hmm. San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they have a speaker, and they're always wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And people maybe I don't know at all today, that was someone I didn't know.
I've been encouraging a lot the people at the station here to have more music on Saturdays, and it's worked. We had a talk show just before mine, and, you know, we went from music to talk to music to talk back to music. And I kind of like the idea of having music on weekends because I can encourage people to dance around the kitchen. If you're our age, don't fall and break your hip. But have a glass of wine, dance around the house, listen to some music, or just kick back and relax because it's been a long week for everybody. So just take it easy and listen to some
tunes. How would you feel if a listener called up and said, you know, I really like your show, and maybe I could come in? And
that would be great. Yeah, you know, matter of fact, I think you can still get a hold of me through email through the website. There's a link. You can send me a note, but if not, just send a note to Jason. He'll pass it on to me.
Yeah.
You know, to people at the station pass on messages all the time, so they'll just forward the information.
Good to have different voices.
Yeah.
Greg DiNunzio, who was on the station a long time, he did The Great Insomniac was his show and at night. I mean, really night. And he'd come up from Middletown. So now he does one show a month, the second Saturday, and he has a different taste, but he's very good at putting it all together, the way he...
I'm glad you mentioned him. He actually offered to cover the show if I ever needed him to at one point. I really don't know how to contact him.
Well, you could even send him a note and have him make a show for you, have it
really?
In the can.
Yeah.
You could have, because he records, all of our shows are recorded now. Mm-hmm. No, very few people do live shows. Who does the live show?
Kathy Geary does
sometimes,
half and half, half sometimes. And half, yeah.
And you and
the fellow on
Jesse.
On Tuesday nights, he's
Kusar.
Kusar, he
does it. That's a great show.
He's fun, huh?
Oh, I love that.
We got him to play congas with Little Sparrow a couple of times, and he was a big hit. It's a lot of fun to play with.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of musicians on the air here that are doing shows, and right. And you know if you're interested in music and you want to do a music show, you know, there's plenty of opportunity out there. If your interest is politics or talk or news or philosophy or back in the old days, books, you know.
We have someone who does a book review.
Yeah, we do book reviews. You know, it's community, not only community supported radio, but it's community participant radio. It's a lot of fun.
You were here for the little porch event a week or two ago.
Yeah, I was managing the porch. It ended up being in 2 weeks. We typically, what we did last year is we rotated musicians from the porch through the studio so they could play live out there and come out and do a couple of songs on the radio. But the weather got to us the first week, so we did in studio the first week, and then we did outside on the porch the second week.
Right.
And it was fun. Absolute fun. And, you know, I managed the porch, and I kept joking with Mimi. I said, it's like herding cats, trying to get musicians to do what they're supposed to do at the right place at the right time.
That is hard because, want everyone to have an equal time.
Yeah, yeah,
and that does mean sometime you have to say, well, Fred, we're over or whatever.
Yeah, well, I had to tell one of the musicians, I said, the more time you spend talking, the less time you spend playing. Yeah. And I go by the lesson. I had a fan call and told me that they really liked the music I played, but they didn't really care too much about what I had to say. Yeah. So I used that as a lesson. I said, that's fine. I'll play music. I don't mind doing that at all.
I think some information is good, but people do want to hear the music.
One of the things we did on the stage is we kept it at a professional level, and we got everybody in and out the right way. We supported their music,
good.
And the audience supported them, and it was just a wonderful afternoon, and it was cold in the morning. I think next year we'll probably do it closer to noon. I think we were out there at 10 o'clock, and it was a little brutal for an April morning. So, we ended up booking some of those musicians for our event out at the Hurleyville Museum. Little Sparrow is playing out there tomorrow, and we're hosting Kevin and Sue. Eggie from Orange County, they came up to listen to some music. And Rob Tellison, who does the Richie Havens kind of style of music, he was the person on at 10 o'clock, and there wasn't hardly anybody in the audience. So we're going to have him out at the museum, I think, in June, and he's going to bring his band out. And there's a great community of musicians. We had some professional-level jazz folks their main association with the station was, I had them on the show a couple of times. I had them here for open mic programs years ago, and I had them featuring their music on Jambalaya. And we try to bring guests on the first Saturday of the month if we can, and you're our guest today.
That's right. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah. Really, well, thank you very much for you said 30 years of
long time, right?
Of doing this, huh?
Hard times and easy times and happy times and sad times, all of that.
I think that the level of commitment that you have to put into this is significant, because here's weekends where you can't really make plans to do other things unless you make arrangements to either record a show or have somebody do it for you. You don't really have a lot of your time free that other people, take for granted. Of course, we're working weekends, and I'm retired during the week, so I can have my weekends on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Right.
This is our weekend job, but it's not really a job. It's a joy to play music for other folks.
Well, this location, we're in a really very well-trafficked location on 52, sort of near the town barn, a stone's throw from the Bosse's, right next to the Spectrum Radio, they're right next door. So if we wanted to do things in our yard, so to speak, it would be just wonderful. People would see it,
The porch worked out well. We set up some chairs up there. We called it the Tiny Porch Festival, kind of a takeoff from the Tiny Desk concerts on NPR.
That's good.
And it just a lot of fun, all about great music, and ta-da, How hard could it be?
What was the show that was live from Studio B? Do you remember, did we ever have musicians over at the old station and they were performing there?
Yeah, Thurman Barker, we were just talking about, he performed there, I believe. And they used to have the Spring Gathering would have musicians come through this kind of an open mic format, and they took turns in Studio B. I ran the open mic program. That's how I got associated with this. Kevin Greff recruited me after I called from the field. They were doing a fundraiser, and I called up and said, do you mind if we come and play a couple songs on the air for your fundraiser? And my friend Mike Baglione and Sue Arnowitz and I were playing out in Smallwood, and on the way there, we stopped and got on the air, and Kevin said, you've got a nice radio voice.
Oh,
I said, yeah, it's like saying you've got a face made for radio. I'm not sure if that was a compliment or an insult, But he recruited me, and the fellow who was doing the show, you may know who it is. I've never really got his name or met him, But the fellow that was doing the open mic program before me fell off his roof, and he was injured. He broke his broke his legs, and he was incapacitated for a while. He had planned on coming back and decided after a while just not to come back. It was too hard for him to do that. And at that point, I had been substituting for him for a couple of months, and I just ended up staying on. The show at that point was 2 hours long. I had people travel from Maine, people from Allentown, Pennsylvania. They were coming from all over the place to be on open mic on the radio and WJFF. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was kind of like a dentist office. We had some volunteers that would help get people into the studio at that point. And then when the volunteers weren't there, I just went out like in a dentist office. I would go out my clipboard and I would say, next. and they'd walk in. And I joke with Stacey Cohen. She came on the air one time, and I had to stop her from playing. I said, Stacey, this is a professional show. You have to tune your guitar. We'll be right back, folks. I made her tune her guitar. I just saw her recently down in Hortonville. She's got a little shop down there now. So
play something else. Pick another really good one.
This cat here, his name is John Reichman. He's a mandolin player from, I believe, the Chicago area, but he's one of the bluegrass guys that has a strong jazz and classical background, but his first true love is the bluegrass genre, and we're gonna get back there because you can't go from jazz directly to a banjo. You have to kind of work your way to the bluegrass stuff. I don't want people to wreck their cars or anything out there.
Right.
We want to be smooth. So this is John Reichman on a song called Salt Spring. Thank you. Sonia, you're making me nervous.
Why?
You have a notebook. Are you taking notes?
I have a notebook because I used to write things on slips of paper. That's a road you don't want to go down. So uh-huh. I have those two musicians, a couple of them you recommended me.
Yeah, Roy Clarkin.
And I thought, well, I should try that.
Yeah.
Because I like that mix between jazz and what we play. But I think if you have one book for everything. And in fact, I have one book just on health issues because, boy, there's a lot of things going in and out about that.
Yeah, well, don't worry. They'll send you a bunch of paperwork from the insurance company till you'll have all those statements of
I don't pay much attention to the statements, but I want to know when I call the doctor. Now they want you to have these files or my chart or something.
Yep. Have you done that? Have you logged in?
I've done it.
Yeah. I read all my stuff. I was actually in the hospital back in July of last year, and it was in Westchester. It's pretty serious stuff, but I would go online and be checking my lab work before the doctors would come in to visit me in the room. I said, Doc, let's talk about my albumin level or whatever the heck was going on. But, you know, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, but a lot of knowledge is actually could keep you alive and keep you healthier, and it's
good to keep
track of that stuff.
Yes, we hope so.
My cholesterol is where it needs to be finally, and, you know. Keep doing it to you.
Doing what you're doing and hope it's the right thing, yeah.
We just played another cut of jazz from a guy named Frank Vignola, who's a jazz guitarist from Warwick, New York, who's currently down in Philadelphia, and he was hanging out with John Pisano and Jimmy Bruno and all those Philadelphia jazz players that we played earlier on in the program. And the song he was doing was by The Police. Remember The Police? Sting and The Police? Walking on the Moon? So, yeah, that's the kind of stuff you find on Jambalaya. It's kind of like a melting pot. You never know what's in that pot, whether it's sausage or crawdads or what. But
yeah, you haven't played any women today, right?
Haven't I?
You haven't.
I interviewed Sean Colvin. I love Sean Colvin. So let's see if we can find somebody here.
There's a movie, I think, on Netflix or Canopy about that, all the women who are jazz musicians. Uh-huh. And how hard they had it sometime to actually perform.
There was the bass player. She was one of the studio musicians from back in the day, and she was an extraordinary musician. Gosh, my brain's not. Oh, look at this. Who did this? See, Bonnie Raitt. What do you see inside?
Yes, nothing.
Nothing.
That's bad.
I'm not going to blame her on the air.
No.
But I think my wife is a Johnny, or is a Bonnie Raitt fan. Here's one that I really love. I was going to break out of the jazz genre, but this lady here, this is the cut I want. This is Diana Krall. Oh yeah!
Oh yes!
Here we go. we'll play the most misogynist.
She did a show with Tony Bennett.
Yeah, yeah. Huh?
Wasn't it great? Oh, such a connection between the two of them.
She's married to Elvis Costello. Yeah, check this out. Oh, come on! This is what I'm talking about. These machines. It takes the time to. Here we go. Press. Oh yeah.
She has. Oh, good. Woo-hoo.
I love talking over them too, like the producer's cut when they have videos where you talk about how they did it. But I think she's great. She's a Canadian.
Talk to me nice,
man.
Talk to me nice. You've got to wind me and dine me. Don't try to fool me. Be you me. Either amuse me. Or lose me. I'm getting hungry. Peel me a grape. Pop me a cork. French me a fry. Crack me a nut. Bring a bowl full of bonbons. Chill me some wine. Keep standing by, just entertain me. Champagne me. Show me you love me. Kid, love me. Best way to cheer me. Cashmere me. I'm getting hungry. Here's how to be an agreeable chap. Love me and leave me in luxury's lap. Hop when I holler. Skip when I snap. When I say do it, jump to it. Sent out for scotch. Boil me a crab. Cut me a rose. Make my tea with the petals. Just hang around. Pick up the tab. Never outthink me. Just mink me. Polar bear rug me. Don't bug me. New thunder burn me. You heard me. I'm getting hungry. Peel me a grape. Slowly.
Sonia, we're back on the air.
We're on the air. we're about time to say goodbye. Thank you very much for letting me come in here and play with you.
I'm so happy you came.
Tune in and Ballads and Banjos. It's on the archives, and you can listen to Angela Page. And Kathy Geary will be coming right up.
Yep. Yeah, we did this accidentally a month ago. I'm glad we did it on purpose today. It was a lot of fun. We should do it again.
Thank you. Sometime we will.
I think you're right. We will recruit some people to be on the air and talk about radio in the future. Huh?
Come and give it a try. Put a playlist together. It's really a lot of fun.
Indeed.
Thank you.
This has been Jambalaya. Thanks for hanging out, folks.
Here's how to be an agreeable chap. Love me and leave me in luxury's lap. Hop when I holler, skip when I snap.
Support comes from the Homestead School, Montessori education, preschool through early college, with campuses in Glens Bay and Hurleyville. Building the intelligence, creativity, connection, and skills for an ecological future since 1978. Homesteadschool.com. From the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, New York. RiverReporter.com. And from listener donations at WJFFradio.org.
Hi, I'm Bill Williams. Join me for the Kingfisher Project Tuesday on the local edition, where my guest will be Dr. James L. Baker. We'll be talking about his new book, This Monstrous Obsession, Hard Lessons Learned About Addiction. That's the Kingfisher Project, Tuesday evening at 6. Only on the local edition.